Hello, welcome to the Darling Rage podcast. I'm your host, Molly, bringing you a new, fresh episode of the Rad as Fuck Women series, and I'm so stoked about it. I know that I'm excited every single time, but seriously, every single one of these interviews has blown me away because these women are rad as fuck and amazing. And usually when I'm re-listening to these episodes to record the intro and put them all together, I cry at some point because there's just such amazing connections made and stories told. And this one is no different. Today I'm talking to Ashley Bedoin of The Imperfect Boss. She is a fantastic, compassionate, lovely soul who has created this beautiful space online for bosses, particularly women, to be imperfect and to lean into our imperfections as superpowers and knowing that our humanity is beautiful and all the things. And so I can't wait for you to hear her voice, our conversation. So without further ado, here is Ashley.
Hello.
Hello.
Hi, Ashley. How are you?
Good. How are you?
I'm good. Thank you so much for being on my podcast today.
Yeah.
I'm honored. Thank you. I'm really excited. So for people who don't know you yet, would you mind introducing yourself and just talking a little bit about what you do?
Sure. Yes, I'm Ashley. And I do a couple different things on the internet. I run the Imperfect, which is a movement all about making imperfect normal and inspiring women to be real and confident. And we do lots of Instagram campaigns. And I'm in the middle of launching our camp, in-person camp. And then as well, I do messaging strategy. So things like helping people figure out what their message is, how to communicate it through copywriting, and creating social campaigns of their own. So that's
awesome. And thank yeah, you. And I loved our most recent campaign, The Truth Rebellion. That yes. was so good. How did that go?
It went really good. I think that I sometimes struggle like to really like process it.
Right.
Because I'm just like, okay, like next thing.
Yep, let's go.
But it went well. I approached it a little bit differently than past campaigns, like even in terms of involving influencers. Mm-hmm. So it was different, but I really, really feel good about how it went.
Yeah, and for people who don't know, basically the Truth Rebellion was like a one-day thing. You can find the hashtag. Is it hashtag Truth Rebellion or hashtag The Truth Rebellion? I can't remember.
It's good.
Yeah. So if you search hashtag The Truth Rebellion on Instagram, you'll be able to see all the pictures. And basically it was a bunch of us coming together and crossing out words that we've spoken over our lives in the past that aren't true and changing them up for words that are really true. So
yeah,
I'd love for you to talk a little bit about your word, because your personal post on the Truth Rebellion campaign was really awesome.
Yeah. So mine was going from struggling to mm-hmm. free. And it's always funny with when I run a campaign, because I feel like a lot of times when people participate, like they're thinking about it for a long time in advance. You know, they sign up for the campaign and then they're already thinking like, what's my word going to be? Or like, what's my confession? But I always forget. And so then I will like wake up that morning and be like, what am I going to say?
That was like me too, though.
Yeah. And plus, like, because especially for this one, I had given these two examples when I was talking about it beforehand, which were emotional to connected and victim to warrior, mm-hmm. which were also two that are very personal to me. And so I was like, I can't use those. Those have been my examples this whole time, so I gotta think of something else. And I was just thinking a lot about how I've really in my life like been through a lot of seasons of struggle, and how even like it's pretty it's been pretty common at times for people to be like, how are you? And I'm like, I'm struggling.
Right. I'm on the struggle bus.
Yeah. And just like, not even just in one area. Right. But like, I'm struggling financially or emotionally or with addiction or whatever it is. And so what would happen if I dropped that label and changed it to free, so that when I think about my life or when people ask me about my life, instead I'm more focused on the freedom than the struggle. Mm-hmm. And it makes you come back to that thought of like, you know, whatever you focus on grows. Mm-hmm. And so if I think it's easy when, you know, you're going through like really difficult stuff and you get so consumed by the struggle, like that's all that mm-hmm. you see. But like, what, just the question of like, what if the struggle is growing because that's all you see? So that was kind of the one that I went with from struggle.
I loved that. And I was also really struck by something that you said in your post about that. Like in the caption, you talked about the fact that, I think you said something to the effect of like, you think that struggle makes you more connected, or you believe that.
Oh, yeah.
And that mm-hmm. was super powerful because actually I was talking to Lauren Frontier earlier about the same thing. Yeah. And like we were talking about that's so true of so many of us, is that we think like when we're struggling, that makes us more connected because people want to like help us and take care of us. And it's like the opposite is sometimes true too. We like are drawn to help save people or something, you know? And that's like such a codependent way of connecting with people. So,
yeah, totally. And just kind of the way that I grew up, or even still, like sometimes with my parents, mm-hmm. still, it's like I feel like they see me more if I'm in a place of crisis, mm-hmm. you know, like, oh, like I can't pay my rent. Then they're like, oh, what do you need?
Right.
Where I'm like doing great, like I'm. You know, I don't feel seen in the same way. And just when you grow up, like when you grow up the way, and that's like your constant, it really like starts to cement that belief in you that, because when you're a kid, like if you kind of expect like my parents are going to like pay attention to me and mm-hmm. love me at all times, not just when I'm struggling or when I'm going through hell, but at all times. And so that can really, for me, like really kind of cemented that in. So,
yeah, absolutely. So going back a little bit to when you were a kid, tell me more about child Ashley. Like, did you always know that you wanted to like start a movement and be an entrepreneur, or was that something that you kind of fell into?
Yeah, no, when I was a kid, no, I didn't think so at all. I was actually, as a child, I was insanely shy. My voice can still be pretty soft-spoken. And so just, like, super soft-spoken, super shy, like, don't look at me. I don't want you to talk to me. I have nothing mm-hmm. to say. I remember when I was, like, I think I maybe was 13 even, and my sister had this friend over, and I was like, guys, I don't know how to have conversations with people. And I was like, what do you even say? Like, what do you even say? Like, I don't know what to ask. I don't know what to say. And they were like trying to teach me like questions. So funny, like, because of what I
did. Right. Well, obviously you grew.
Yeah, obviously I taught me a lot. It's a defining moment.
Thanks, friends.
But just like super fearful. Yeah. And in my earliest years, like I really did have a creative bent, and I thought that I would be a writer. Like that's probably my longest childhood dream to write, and which really has stayed true like through my entire journey. And then my teenage years, I was kind of between thinking, you know, like I'm gonna be a pastor, and or I'm gonna be in like the human rights field, and so I went and got a degree. Like I have a degree in human rights, And then it was after all of that that I was like, no one's hiring me.
Right.
And my skills, like, honestly, my skill set doesn't match a lot of job opportunities. Mm-hmm. And so I'm going to try and make this thing happen.
Right.
So that was kind of the dream job.
Yeah. Well, it's so interesting to me. I love hearing stories of, like, all of the women that I've been talking to in the series, but particularly entrepreneurs, because I'm one as well. And so many people are like, yeah, I thought I was going to do this and I have all these skills, but either it didn't work at all or like yeah. they went into it and I was like, nah, not yeah. what I thought.
Yeah, so, totally.
So true. Tell me more about, like, the inception. When did Imperfect Bosses start? Like, what was the idea for that? Where did that come from?
Yeah, so I had been really into social media campaigns since 2011, really. So I just, like, really, like, fell in love with this idea of bringing people together on the internet around a message. Specifically women, and specifically the foundation being vulnerability and encouragement. Mm-hmm. So it's funny because my first campaign I ever did was called hashtag overcome the lie.
Oh.
Which is funny.
Full circle, a little bit.
So just a little bit. And so it's funny because, like, when I did overcome the lie, like, Instagram wasn't even a lie.
Right.
A weird thing, yeah. But and then I did, like, a few different ones in different areas. Like, I did a political one, I did faith-based ones, I did like more just like a female community one, and I really wanted, I was just getting this feeling like I really want to do one again, and I just, like, love the magic of them, so I just want to do it for fun. And I was kind of, but I really wanted the idea to be mm-hmm. good, so I was kind of waiting for my idea, and I was laying on my bed in I think, like, April 2016. Mm-hmm. And I was scrolling Instagram, and I was like, man. oh my gosh, like, these people's lives look so perfect. And their business is going so well, and they have so many cool friends, and they're so healthy. And I was like, man, like, my life looks 80% not like this. And this isn't real. Like, this isn't right. real. And we need to show the other side of what it takes to make your dreams happen, what it takes to run a business, what it takes to be creative consistently.
Yeah.
And I just, it, like, literally came to me in that moment. I was like, I should run a campaign called The Perfect Boss and get people to share confessions about what it actually looks like. And then I just, like, made it happen. And we did that first campaign, like, a month
That's
later.
It's crazy. And then yeah. did it, like, so I have so many questions. So I guess I'll stop. I get really excited when I'm in these conversations, and sometimes I get ahead of myself. But so, first of all, so before Instagram was a thing, how did you run those other campaigns?
Yeah, so the first one I ever did, I ran through an email list, a blog tour, and a Twitter.
Okay.
Then this other one I ran called hashtag Fire People. Ran through Twitter chats and then, like, a Facebook group, but, like, before Facebook groups were
right. Cool, you know?
And then the political one I ran through a Facebook event.
Wow, crazy!
Wow. And then the Imperfect Boss, we know, Instagram.
Yeah, and then, like, the Imperfect Bosses campaign, that must have just, did that take off right away, or was it more of, like, a slow build?
No, yeah, it definitely took off right mm-hmm. away. That first campaign was probably the most electric
yeah.
to me because no one knew what it was. They were like, what's happening? What is this? And there's just, like, a lot of energy, like, a lot of
buzz almost. And at the time, like, even that first campaign, like, Insta stories wasn't the thing either. So I think it was especially compelling in that those first two, because with the introduction of Insta stories, I feel like there's been more, like, authenticity and real life. Whereas before it was like, in some ways, completely curated.
Yeah. It's interesting. Instagram is so interesting to me now, because I know we both use it primarily as our, like, main platform. And, like, it is interesting with Insta stories, because I feel like my profile is so much more curated than Insta stories. Like, Insta stories, I'll literally come on with, like, no makeup and be like, sup, guys? Like, you know? Yeah. And so that like, combination is just real interesting to me, because it's true. Like, if you were to share, like, a photo on Instagram that's not quote-unquote beautiful, it doesn't get as much engagement, which is, like, I get it as a visual platform, but at the same time, it's, like, a kind of a sad commentary on how the online world works, right?
Yeah, it's true. Yeah, it's so true.
I don't know. I love what you're doing, though, and I love that Imperfect Bosses has, like, grown so much, because I think it's really, like, created this still electric, really, sisterhood of people who are okay with being vulnerable with, like, the real shit that's going on. And so, like, from that campaign, how did that then grow for you?
Well, I continue to really just run campaigns. I played around with a couple different concepts, but I think the Truth Rebellion was the sixth campaign.
Wow.
In like a year and a half, so it's kind of crazy to think about. Yeah. But
you've been doing a lot of stuff.
and then I opened the Facebook group to kind of create community in between campaigns. And then was like, I need to take this off the internet. And so that's when I got the idea to create a camp.
Yeah. Was there, like, a specific moment where you were like, oh, I'm going to make this camp?
Well, it's always been a big dream of mine to do a large event. Like, probably since I was like 18. So, like, 11
that's
years.
That's awesome.
I actually tried to do a conference when I was 18, but then it didn't work out. So this is,
I mean, like, good for you for trying. That's brave.
And so, you know, there had kind of been a feeling, it's hard, events are hard because there can be a lot of fear involved, and, like, it can be risky in some ways, especially when you're doing a large event.
Right.
And so, like, that really held me back. But I was like, you know what, I'm just going to do it. Like, I'm just going to try and see what happens. And I knew that I really wanted, because at first I was kind of looking around, like, oh, like, hotels and, like, cities and whatever. And all of a sudden, like, I had this moment where I was like, I'm pretty sure, like, it needs to be at a camp. I, camping is more, it's more affordable. Mm-hmm. So it's more affordable for me, but then also for the people coming. But also, I noticed that when I was at a conference recently that I was in, like, New York, and I am someone who has a lot of feelings and picks up things, like, in atmospheres, which I feel like is a lot of people in my audience. And so when I went into New York City, I was shutting down, because I was, like, overly stimulated, and I was like, there's so much happening, and I'm having so many feelings.
Right.
And I don't know. And because, you know, the conference was only 2 days. And so then by, like, the time I adjust, like, it's almost over.
It's time to leave again.
Yeah. And so I was like, the camp would be the opposite effect, because, you know, when we, you know, go, like, outdoors or, like, somewhere that's more secluded, where there's actually less noise and less unplugged, or less, like, being plugged in, that our hearts actually, like, start to open up.
Yeah.
And we actually start to connect more with ourselves and with other people. And so I was like, it's got to be at a camp. And then I was like, man, this just fits everything because, like, at a camp, like, no one's going to, like, wear high heels.
Exactly.
Like, we're going to be who we are and show up, like, just as we are. And so that was kind of more of the aha moment, I would say, at the camp.
That's awesome. And, like, tell me more about what's going to happen at this camp. Because there was a couple of things, like, when I was reading the sales page and everything, like, you got, we're going to have, like, yeah, rallies. Like, even just that word, I was like, hell yes.
I know. Sign yeah. Can you tell, like, I have a background in human rights?
Just a little bit.
Like, let's rally. Let's
do it.
Yeah, so really the camp is made up of four things. It's made up of inspirational rallies, which are really just times where I am bringing in, like, more inspirational style speakers to talk about imperfection, creativity, confidence, and to really kind of create this these moments for people where you get inspired and transformed mm-hmm. to bring your gifts to the yeah. world and to be real, to be exactly who you are. And then the second piece are these daily mentor meetings. And so when people sign up, they get assigned to a mentor, and I have 16 mentors. And you'll meet with them in a group of like 10 women every day and just like have that more of that intimate, vulnerable conversation that we won't be able to have in the mm-hmm. rallies. And then the third thing is like creative and personal growth workshops. So that's like less of like, oh, like how to brand your Instagram, but more like how to maybe like how to have work-life balance or how to paint,
right.
or how to break the power of perfection over your life through dance.
Hell yes. Things like that. Sign me up for that one.
And then, okay. The last part is just like fun. So the nights will be like,
yes,
different things like bonfires and dancing and music. And one of the, I don't know if I have this, I don't think I have this on the website, so this is a secret, but we're doing like on the last night, we're going to do like an award ceremony and have every camper will like be given like some type of award based on who they are and how they show up.
That's amazing.
So yeah, that's kind of the four things, but it's really just about connecting in with your heart, creating a, I want to just really create an atmosphere where imperfection is mm-hmm. normal and really like my real heart and vision for people who come is that it would grow their confidence, that they would come in maybe feeling okay, but they would they would leave like crazy confident that what they have and who they are matters.
Hell yes.
Yeah.
I'm so excited. First of all, congratulations for launching this thing. It's freaking amazing. I know that.
Thank you.
And I'm sure like that vision is going to come true. Like you can just feel it even just talking about it.
Yeah.
So I'm really excited. And like for everyone listening when this goes live later, the mentors are going to be freaking great. So I'm already super excited. There are two in particular that I already know. So I'm like, as soon as I get on that page and like sign up, because I'm going to camp, like I have a list of two very particular people that I'm like, yes, sign me up with one of those. I'm excited. So I'd love to know, Ashley, when I say like the whole idea of like finding out who you are through this process of like being vulnerable, right? Which is like,
yeah,
a core value with like the Imperfect Boss Camp and campaign and everything that you do. And with this podcast, the whole theme is really finding your voice and uncovering that confidence, like you said. And so when I say that, finding your voice, what does that mean for you and like your journey so far?
Yeah. But actually that phrase is like, it's special to me because I remember when I because you know how I shared with you about like when I was young, like I didn't really have, I was not aware of my voice at all. And I really had a defining moment when I was in high school, actually, where it was like I found my voice. And I remember feeling like at that time, like there had been this woman inside of me that had been like locked up inside of me, this incredibly passionate woman. And it was like someone like let her out.
You Hell know? Yes.
Let her out of the prison. And that kind of was able to happen for me because I had had experiences where people looked at me and saw greatness in me. This is why I'm so, so passionate about encouragement. Because to me, encouragement is not just like flattery, and it's not just like, oh, like pat you on the back, like you got this. But it's more like I see something in you that maybe you don't even see yet, but I see how incredible and amazing it is. That's all I want to tell you about it.
Yeah.
And because I saw how much that transformed my life when someone looked at me and saw good things in me that I didn't see yet, but saw it, like they were so convincing in the way that they saw it in me that it awakened something inside of me to see it in myself too.
Yeah.
And that's how I feel like that's how I found my voice. But it took someone outside of me seeing the greatness in me and actually telling me about it. And so that's why I really love like these moments, that even the moments that we do together through the Imperfect Boss, because we're giving each other the opportunity to be vulnerable, and we're giving each other the opportunity to like practice being seen. But we're also giving each other the opportunity to see one another and to see the greatness and to talk about it. Like I love like in some of the campaigns where it's like someone will share something really vulnerable, and then you'll see like in the comments, either people will be like you're not alone, like I totally get that, that's totally me, or it'll be like you're amazing, like you don't know, you don't know how good you are. And I think that when you're in like when you're in those vulnerable moments, or when you're like practicing vulnerability, and then someone speaks something like that over you, it like stays with you in a way that it would not stay with you if you weren't being vulnerable.
Yeah, because you're like open. You're not so close.
Like
off.
Your heart's like there. That's kind of so like finding my voice, like that's kind of how it happened for me, and that's why I'm probably so passionate about others finding theirs.
Yeah, and I love that. And I was just like nodding along with you as you were saying, probably like especially the last couple minutes, because that's what this podcast and specifically like this Rad as Fuck Women series that I started when this year started is all about, is because I'm also passionate about that. Like giving women a platform and a space to share their stories, be real, be open, and like see how different we are, but also how similar we are at the same time. And hear from each other and learn from each other. And it's such a beautiful thing. And I love that. I feel like that has reached like a fever pitch lately, especially with like everything that's going on in the world. And I just so damn proud to be a woman and to be like sharing this space with so many other incredible women. It's awesome.
Yeah, absolutely.
Yeah. So how has, especially like the last year, the last few months, have there been like layers for you of your own voice that have like come even more to the surface?
That's a really good question. You're so good.
Oh, thank you. There's that encouragement piece.
I think so, yeah.
Would you like to talk about those things?
I think I've experienced it in a few different ways. One, I think I've experienced it in terms of, like, I've had the opportunity recently to speak more in person, and I'm like, that's like my magic spot. That's like where I like come totally alive. This internet stuff, like, okay, yeah, it's all right. But but when I'm in person with people and like, yep, I can feel the energy in a room, I'm like, oh, let's go all night. Yeah. You know? So that was a huge like aha moment for me. And then even just in terms of my voice, like in general, it's been interesting because anyone who's followed me online, I've talked publicly about struggling with addiction. Mm-hmm. I kind of, there's still part of me that wishes I could talk about it more than I do. But it's like, obviously it can be a vulnerable topic and it can also be heavy.
Right.
But I'm just like, man, like, more of us are struggling with this stuff than we admit. Mm-hmm. And so my voice, though, like, I've definitely found my voice more in that, I would say, probably, well, over the last couple of years. And just really getting to this place with that part of my life where it's like, I'm just owning this, mm-hmm. like, I'm owning this as a part of my story. And part of my message, like part of my message with imperfection actually comes from that story.
Mm.
Coming face to face with my own imperfection.
Yeah.
And learning how to see myself in that place. And I saw in some ways, like I gotta bring it. Otherwise it's like, I'm telling you a message, but I'm not telling you where it comes from.
Yeah. It's so important.
Yeah, totally. And I really like, one of the things I'm really passionate about in terms of like the messages that I bring is like, if I can talk about something and someone else gets free because of my honesty, then it's like 100% worth it.
Yes.
And if I'm more aware of my fear to share and less aware of how my honesty can bring freedom, then I'm not going to share. But if I can switch that around, then I will share confidently. Mm-hmm. And knowing like that I actually become more free in the process of owning it. And just like kind of removing the stigma around mental health and addiction is always a good
idea. Yeah. So huge. That's another like pillar of this podcast, because it's like 2018 and we're just starting to uncover this whole mental health thing and how normal and widespread it is that people have issues.
Yeah, like we're living in 2018, like one of the most difficult times of history in terms of like we are so overloaded with information, we're overloaded with technology, goal to love and accept and stay connected to ourselves. Mm-hmm. We're isolated, we're lonely, and we have more access than ever before.
Mm-hmm.
But just other generations like haven't had to deal with, and things that can be damaging, like whether it's like pure drugs.
Right.
Like, there's, like, a million more drugs now than there was, like, 20
years ago. Right.
Or whether it's, like, we're constantly, like, scrolling social media and it's, like, messing up our brains sometimes. Yeah. Because
it becomes a compulsion.
It's totally a compulsion. I was last night, I was, like, it's, like, 2 a.m. and I'm, like, I just can't stop. Like, I just can't stop scrolling. And I'm, like, I literally said out loud, I was, like, Ashley, why are you doing this?
Right. Yeah. Like, and that's a really, it's funny because we've all been there like multiple times a day, but it's also like a really important conversation to have, because that whole like self-awareness and self-questioning thing of like, okay, what's the reason behind why I'm actually doing this? Like, am I trying to numb something out? Am I trying to like ignore something? Am I feeling like ashamed or insecure about something? You know?
Yeah. Yeah, totally. Totally. Mm-hmm.
Yeah. So I think that's so important to talk about. And like, I think, and like to your point, how it's been, you talked about how it's been difficult for you finding new ways to, you know, speak about the heavier things and stuff. I think it's interesting because I've noticed with whenever I'm posting about heavier stuff, and I mean, when you've posted about heavier stuff too, it seems like there's a shit ton of people who come out of the woodwork and are like, thank yeah. you. Like, yeah, me too. Which is why yeah. I think, like, even that whole Me Too movement was so powerful and stuff, is that, like, women especially are dealing with so much stuff. And it's like, oh, yeah. And the more, I feel like Brene Brown talks about it with, like, shame. Whatever has the most shame around it really is the thing that needs to be spoken. And when it's spoken, like, that's when shame disappears. Like, it can't grow if it's in the sunlight. Yeah. So it's like, and I think yeah. it takes all of us, like, taking small little steps and then seeing each other taking those steps and recognizing it. And, like, it's empowering for us, but it's also empowering for other people to start coming yeah. out and being vulnerable. Yeah.
A big thing, too, I think, is that we need to teach one another how to respond to someone when they're being yes. vulnerable. One, number one, is, like, do not exercise
pain. Yeah.
Or, like, oh, I feel so bad for you. I'm so sorry.
Yeah, we should say, we should say that a lot more. Yep, don't say, I'm so sorry. Not helpful.
That's not healing. Like, I think that you can, I think there are moments where people share vulnerably as victims, mm-hmm. and there are moments where people share vulnerably as powerful people. Yeah. And people who are sharing vulnerably as powerful people, they are sharing to share. They're sharing for the sake of someone else. They're sharing because they're owning their stuff. They're not sharing because they're looking for you to make it better. They're not sharing because they're looking for you to right. fix it. Or they're not even sharing to look for a response out of you. But I think we have become trained almost that whenever someone shares vulnerably, we think they're sharing as a victim. Mm-hmm.
Or to get it fixed. And
we think, yeah. We think like, oh, like they're, I don't know. They're looking for attention and I better give it mm-hmm. to them, or I don't know. And so, one, I think that's why it's so important that as powerful women that we share vulnerably to change that rhetoric almost, but then also to learn how to respond to one another and say things like, I see yes. you, or like, you're not alone, or thanks for sharing your story, or whatever, whatever that might be. So,
yeah.
Yeah, I think that's another important point.
Yeah, and that's a huge distinction that I feel like we don't talk about a lot, too. That
yeah.
Because there is such a there's still such a thing as, like, boundaries, and they're still important. Yeah. And so, yeah. like, you're so right. If you're in the middle of that mentality where it's more for, like, attention, and, like, you haven't quite gotten to a place where you're processing it, you know?
Yeah,
I don't think that's a good time to share. but
yeah, I mean, that's come up a lot, like in their perfect box,
yeah.
when we have done confessions. Yeah. But how I measure it is really like just measuring where your power yes. is. Have you put the power on them and like how people are responding to you, or have you put the power on yourself?
Yeah. Can you talk a little bit more about that? Yeah. Sure. Tell me more. Yeah. For people in the audience want to know more too.
Yeah. So I'll give you like an example. Let's say I'm going to share about let's say I'm going to share about struggling with an addiction. Mm-hmm. If I am going to share that out of a place of power, that would be like, I'm going to share about this addiction because I know other women are struggling in the dark and I want them to know they're not alone. I'm going to share about this because this journey has made me who I am. I'm going to share about this because this lends itself to my message of imperfection. A power, if I was kind of putting the power off of me and onto them, it would look more like, I'm gonna share about addiction because I want someone to see me. I'm gonna share about addiction because I want someone to tell me it's gonna be okay. And those are important things. Like, those are really important things when you're going through difficult or heavy things, to be seen, to know that you're not alone. But those conversations, to me, don't happen publicly. They should happen with the people that are in your life and that you're close and connected to. Because what I've learned, and I've learned all this stuff the hard way, is that if you try and come at it from a powerless place and you're looking for those things, you're looking for your needs to be met, someone could respond and be like, yeah, you're not alone. Like, I see you. But those were, like, when people say those things to you, you're going to be like, that means nothing to me. You don't even know.
Right.
And so it's actually like this, it's almost like this cycle of emptiness, because you're putting the power on them, but their power's not even going to give you anything anyway.
Right. So it's not going to be fulfilling whatsoever.
Yeah. It's just going to kind of like pass on by. Like, it's not going to stick. And so instead, like, have those conversations where, like, your need, where your, like, relational or emotional needs get met with people that you actually have a relationship with, and choose to be, stay in a place of power when you share publicly, and so that it's all good.
Yeah. So good. Thank you, Ashley. That was, like, awesome. I feel like we could segment this episode into like 4 mini episodes. I'll be equally as good. Yeah, it's great. So I want to ask you, I have 2 more questions for you before we close this out. And the first one is, if you could give your younger self, younger Ashley, a piece of advice, what would it be?
I think that I would tell myself 2 things.
I'm ready.
Number 1, that you are enough as you are. And number 2, that as fast as you can, as quickly as you can, learn how to sit with your emotions and connect with your heart. Be brave enough to face them and experience them so you won't run away from them. And also at the same time, realize that emotions aren't reality.
Yes.
And they're not truth. And the faster you can learn how to sit with them, the faster you'll learn how to sift through them and realize that they're not truth. And that's what I would tell
myself. So good. And everyone benefits from that advice as well.
Exactly. Everyone benefits.
Absolutely. And last question, I'm really excited about this. We're making a Rad as Fuck Women playlist that's gonna come out sometime soon. I haven't really decided because I'm still compiling. You're like the 21st interview I've done in the last couple weeks. Yeah, it's great. The goal is at least 100 women by the end of the year. I have a feeling I'm going to smash through that goal. So it'll be a really good playlist by the end of it. So the last question is, what is your favorite song right now?
Oh my gosh, I'm not good at these.
I ask you all the deepest questions and it's like so good, and then I ask you what your favorite song is, you're like, pass.
I'm not a huge music person.
Okay, but it's fair.
I will say this is not a new song in the list, okay. But I will say that, like, literally, like, one of the songs, like, if I just, like, need to get, you know, pumped up, is Girl on Fire by Alicia Keys.
Hell yes. I love that song. So
I know, it's so
it
good,
is
right?
So good. Adding it to the playlist. It's gonna be a good playlist.
Yeah, you should have seen. It's funny because I made this the Perfect Boss playlist.
Oh,
but I'm like, I have no idea what songs to put on. Like, all the songs I feel like are old because I don't know.
Dude, you should put that to the Facebook group. Like, ask. I'm sure people have a ton.
Yeah, I could.
And then you don't have to do all the legwork. They just, like, serve up songs for you.
Yeah. I was, like, Googling. I was, like, empowering songs
for women. That's one of my favorite things is, like, Google search terms. Like, when you put in one word, like, what are the terms that come up most popular? It's funny. Empowering songs for women of 2018. Yeah. A lot of good ones, actually. I'll send you some, and then you should ask the Facebook group, because I'm sure they have a lot more.
The only one I can think of is that song, Pray.
That's a really good one. The one, I think that's Kesha. Yeah, I love it. It's good. Yeah. I think that's on our list. No, I'm thinking. It's okay. Good. Yeah. So, oh my goodness. Ashley, you're amazing. Thank you so much for being on the podcast. I appreciate it.
Thank you so much.
Absolutely.
For having me.
I really look forward to everything that you've got going on with Imperfect Bosses and Boss Camp and all of that stuff. So,
yeah, I can't wait to
Yeah, I know. We talked about we're just going to hug for like a minute.
Yeah. Well, have you ever heard that thing that's like you have to hug for 90 seconds or because that's when like the bond, that like hormone bond thing?
Oh, happens. I didn't know that was a thing, but.
But, like, so I lived with these girls once, and we were, like, practicing it, but it would get so awkward, like, after 20 seconds. You're like, we're still hugging.
And we're still hugging.
Like, 90 seconds is a lot longer
it
than
it is. I mean, I'm super extroverted, and, like, I've had to learn the last couple of years, like, boundaries, and, like, because I have so many people that are totally all over the spectrum and have, you know, personality things where like they don't like to be touched. And so yeah. I've had to learn that lesson of being like, is it okay if I hug you? Because I really want to hug you, but I won't hug you if you don't want me to.
Like, I know. Yeah, I totally get that.
So that 90 second thing is interesting.
Just a bonus info.
Yeah, we'll have to test it.
Yeah, we can definitely test
it. Awesome.
That.
Deal. Okay. All right. Well, thank you so much, Ashley. I hope you have a great rest of your day. Thank you. Bye. Wasn't that conversation so good? Oh my goodness. They just keep on getting better and better. I cannot wait to share more with you babes next week. If you're enjoying the Darling Rage Nation podcast and this Rad as Fuck Women series that we've been doing, please be sure to go on iTunes or any other platform that you are listening to this on and leave a rating and review. If you leave a sweet review, I'm doing this thing where I'm going to start shouting you guys out. So if you leave a review on iTunes telling me how much you've been loving this interview series, I'm going to give you a shout out in the next couple of episodes. And I think that's just going to be a fun way to connect us and get the podcast a little more visible. So thank you so much for listening, babes. You guys are amazing. As always, you can come and hang out with me on Facebook at Darling Rage Creations or on Instagram at The Darling Rage. Can't wait to see you there. Hope you have a fantastic remainder of your week. And as always, rage on, darlings.